Have we tried the video? No?
Thank you.
he's having up. Let's go.
Worship on Wednesday. We'd like to thank everybody for being here. Does anybody have any kind of announcement for this week? She got her hair done. I have some more spaces for BCYF if people want to sign up. This is a middle school thing too. But if you're interested in that, come sign up. Does anybody have any prayer requests? What was the last name? Anybody else? Harold? brother called me today, and he lives in Dixon, and evidently the big thing in the news in Dixon is a lady was murdered, and she has a son in a wheelchair, and the guy tried to murder her son too, but the thing is, she is a very active member of the CP Church in Dixon, or was, so I don't really know much more than that, but maybe prayer for the church and the family. Anyone else?
If you could pray for my grandfather, he's in the hospital with heart issues. And my grandmother also, she's been kind of trying to take care of him and deal with his issues. And if you could keep going in prayer for his issues.
Next thing is we have a neighbor that's referred to. So it's kind of a tricky deal. So let's leave it.
Anyone else?
We bring all the needs to the Lord in prayer. We need to pray for our sound system.
Yeah.
We have some issues.
We've also got a praise report regarding Ed's mother-in-law.
All these musicians who are here all the time, but I wanted to especially to notice John. He's a humble servant of God. He never missed a Wednesday without a reason. He's always on time for practice, and somehow we ended up, if John cannot make the practice, we cancel the practice. No. You know, they say that there are so many involved people in church life, in following God, not so many committed. So, but he's the one who's committed. And so I'm really grateful for him. He's probably shy and embarrassed now.
Well, I guess we should say one other word of praise as we're doing that. Is it tomorrow? It is. 10 years of wedded bliss, Sveta and Yaroslav. So that's kind of something y'all be sure to tell them. Congrats.
My cousin, his name is Clay. He's 9 months older than I am, and he's getting ready to go back to. I think he's going to Iraq this time, but I think it's his fourth time going overseas. So prayer for him. He's got a 1-year-old at home. And kind of the good news is he kind of got a new job, and he's going to be driving around an officer. So he's feeling pretty comfortable about that. That's the first time he's been safe while he was over there, or as safe as you can be, I guess. So prayer for him. Nikki? Can I get you to pray? Do you mind praying? We're missing our little clicker thing, so
stand up, who's able. I know it's the end of the day. We are tired.
That was good.
Yes, after a good meal, we are. We need to stand up.
Thank you.
need victory in our lives. Victory in Jesus. I read on internet news that there was an interview with a Chinese missionary, and American missionary was telling that America is praying for you so the persecutions would stop in China. And the Chinese guy said, and you know, our churches are praying for persecutions in the United States, so the churches will be awakened. And the Christians more and more talking, trying to say, how can we make our Christians be more active and following Lord more passionately? And some say, maybe we need a little bit of persecutions. So unfortunately, if we don't wake up and we don't follow the Lord with passion, with commitment, we might end up with a persecution. The Lord will have to wake us up. So let's proclaim His victory in our lives. Scripture reading during our Wednesday night, since we don't have good sound. You could, you will spend some time on the Word of God, the purest food for our soul. Just read and meditate on every verse. Jesus spoke to his friends, and it was not far long before he was suffering on the cross.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full.
Last thing I need Religion that practices like a different form of God. I know that Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes do it, but other than that, I don't really know what it is.
I have no clue.
I'm pretty sure they believe in that aliens brought human organisms down to Earth and that they just dropped us off here, I guess, and are experimenting on us. Something like that.
I think they have really strict and harsh beliefs on certain ways that they practice their religion. I don't know too much about it, but I just know that it's just very strict in whatever that they do.
You can't, like, take prescriptions and pills and stuff like that. I know that you can't take medicine.
If I were to list the members of the Church of Scientology, like Tom Cruise, Kate Hudson, or John Travolta, it would sound like a lineup for an award ceremony or a celebrity charity event. Some of the better-known celebrities who have identified themselves with the Church of Scientology do come from Hollywood.
That's right. These and thousands of others have claimed that the psychological and spiritual counseling techniques used in Scientology have made a positive difference in their lives. They claim that Scientology's methods have set them free from personal problems, guilt, and destructive behavior. Others claim that Scientology has freed them to be more creative and more productive.
To talk about Scientology, we have to talk about a man named L. Ron Hubbard, the man who started Scientology. He claimed that as a child and a young man, he traveled throughout the world learning different philosophies, religions, and approaches to science. So what did he do with this information?
In the 1940s, he wrote pulp science fiction. While writing science fiction, Hubbard developed a theory about human psychology, and he called it Dianetics. And you probably heard this term because it became the title of his book, Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health, a book that is still widely advertised on television. Now, this controversial book, published in 1950, still appears on some bestseller lists.
Dianetics doesn't deal with religion or the subject of God. But Hubbard decided the best way to spread his ideas was to start a church. So in 1954, he started the Church of Scientology. Scientology strives to build inroads with celebrities, and for that reason alone, it is often in the news. But how big is this group really?
Now, the church claims to have over 8 million members. Now, outside sources, more objective information, shows that worldwide, there might be 500,000 members. The American Religious Identification Survey found that only 55,000 people claim to be Scientologists.
This church, that really isn't a church, has been very controversial. Battles with the Internal Revenue Service, harsh lawsuits against any who oppose them, accusations of totalitarian, quasi-militaristic management, continual accusations of duping people out of thousands of dollars, doing more harm than good. Some countries have banned the movement. But what do they believe?
Scientologists believe in engrams. They believe there are two parts of your mind. There is the analytical mind. That's the part you normally think of, like the conscious, rational, and problem-solving part of your mind. Scientologists say there's another part of your mind called the reactive mind. That's the part of your mind that is not under your rational or conscious control. You're not even aware of this part of your mind.
Well, let's get back to those engrams. Engrams are negative mental images that are stored in that reactive mind. You're not aware of engrams because they're in a part of your mind you're not aware of. But according to Scientology, these engrams, these nasty negative images, have a negative impact on your life. Things in your brain you're not even aware of are pulling you down.
Where do these engrams come from? Well, according to L. Ron Hubbard, 75 million years ago, an evil ruler named Zeno implanted phaetons, or spirits, in volcanoes on the planet Tegeac, known now recently as Earth. All humans are made up of these phaetons, which are basically good spirits, but when you experience some kind of bad event or trauma, it creates an engram in your reactive mind. The key to success, wealth, reaching your own potential, is to get rid of all of those engrams.
There's where Scientology comes in. A person called an auditor will use an electropsychometer, or e-meter, to check you out and discover your engrams. The goal is to reach a state of clear, where you are liberated from all those nasty engrams that are causing bad effects on your mind and body.
So how long does this take? Well, it depends on the person and how many engrams they've got hanging out there in their reactive mind. Of course, once you get rid of the engrams from this life, you've got to go through more auditing sessions to get rid of the engrams from your countless past lives. Your thetan, your spirit that was first planted on the planet Tegeac, is timeless and has gone through countless past lives. That's a lot of engrams to get audited. But don't fret, it only costs $1,000 per auditing session. People have spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to reach a state Scientologists call clear.
Engrams, thetans, electropsychometers, auditing, the planet Tegeac. Sound like coming out of a low-budget science fiction movie?
Well, just remember, L. Ron Hubbard started out as a writer of science fiction.
Hi, it's your boy Tyler, and this is my boy Brian.
And we're on the fuel set with our friends Ryan O'Quinn and Chris Woolsey, talking about Scientology.
It's significant to talk about Scientology with these guys because they are from the Mecca, Los Angeles. As they walk down the streets of Los Angeles, people scream, "Oh my goodness, look at Ryan and Chris Woolsey!" But we're happy to have them here with us.
Constantly. Yeah, now, constantly. I have to confess that what I've just heard about Scientology, it's all new to me. It's throwing some new terms out to me. And it seems a little bit more psychological than religious.
Yeah, I mean, Scientology is all about discovering one's own knowledge, power, and really, if you think about it, divinity. You know, the goal is to be fully responsible and in control of life, thought, matter, energy, space, time, form. It all centers on you.
Yeah, and Scientology doesn't really talk about God and doesn't really talk about divinity at all. Their idea is that we all of us, our spirits or our thetans, if you will, are immortal. So we're all, in a sense, divine beings, according to Scientology. And Scientology also doesn't really offer any clear definitions about what that means. They don't talk about the nature or the person of God. They actually talk more in terms of infinity, more in pantheistic terms.
Yeah, God is in everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, in the Bible, it is clear that Jesus is presented as divine and as the Son of God.
not us.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, and Scientology doesn't see Jesus that way at all. I mean, here's L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics right in front of us. In some of their writings, they say that Jesus is actually a figment of our imagination. In other writings, they say that even though Jesus Christ, the person, died, the hope that he brought did not die. They say that that was symbolic of the triumph of the spirit over the mental body and brought about an awareness of man's true nature. In another place, they actually describe Jesus in Scientology terms, and they say that, get this, they say that he was just a shade above clear. Now, on their spiritual awareness level, keep in mind that there's eight more levels higher than what they say Jesus was.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. And Scientology is more than just repackaged pop psychology, which a lot of people say. It actually teaches the opposite of what we read in the Bible. Think about what Ryan just said for a second about those Scientologist comments on Jesus. I mean, when we read the New Testament and the entire Bible, we see that everything in Scripture points to Jesus. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, Alpha and the Omega. He's the King of the universe. He spoke and reality leapt into existence. And yet Scientology blows him off and really diminishes the role that he has in the creation of the world and really in the salvation of humanity.
Yeah, and God is separate from his creation. We were created in his image is the important thing to remember. But that doesn't mean, obviously, that we're divine beings, of course. Only God is eternal. But Scientology says that if we have these immortal, godlike spirits that are within us. My question is, what is so godlike about a spirit that can be held down by engrams?
Right.
I think that's a fair question. I mean, if something's so powerful or so supreme, if there's a force, that Scientology refers to, how can it be so powerful if there's something else that's more powerful that's holding that down?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about engrams for a moment. Engrams, in my opinion, are not the problem.
Right.
Sin is the problem. God has designed us in such a way that if we follow him, that we'll have wonderful lives. But when we choose to not follow the way that God has laid out for us, that's when we get into trouble. That's our rebellion against God. That's our sin. And, Jesus Christ offers the only solution for that. But Scientologists would suggest that the solution to the troubles of our life are to be audited.
It sounds like something the IRS does.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't joke about the IRS.
Yeah, not on
TV. That wasn't funny. I didn't joke about the IRS. I just want to make this. Tyler said nothing bad about the IRS. Love you.
Seriously, but auditing in Scientology is just about as expensive as it is with the IRS.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, the gospel of Jesus Christ is free to the world. You don't need to pay anything to be saved. You don't need to write a check in order for you to have a relationship with Jesus.
Thank goodness.
No lie, because I'm broke as a joke. But that's not really the case in Scientology. You've got to have cash on the barrel head, and you've got to have a lot of it.
Yeah. And speaking of cash and celebrities we were talking about, there are stories that Tom Cruise has spent more than $500,000 to be clear of his engrams.
I think, though, it's important also to note that a lot of everyday people also practice Scientology.
Exactly.
It's not necessarily a religion specifically for those that are celebrities,
right,
or those that have a ton of money, but these are people that are walking the streets with this every single day.
Sincerely seeking truth.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, Scientologists really court celebrities because they know that young people that are easily influenced, look to celebrities for a lot of things, including spiritual awareness. Speaking of everyday people that do this, there was actually a journalist who went into Scientology as an investigative matter, and he related what he found in Scientology to hypnotic therapy that he had done earlier in his life. And he said during the auditing sessions, they would have him repeat traumatic experiences again and again and again and again until it lost all meaning for him. It was until they said that he reached a state of cheerfulness about the terrible things that had happened in his life. It would be like repeating the word chair over and over and over again until the word itself had actually lost all its meaning. Right. Yeah, it's a mind game.
But a dangerous mind game.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's all about me. It's all about how I can control my world and how I can get what I want. It takes the focus off the real problem, which is our sin and rebellion against God. But even more dangerously, it takes the focus off the only solution.
But it makes sense, though, that a religion that is pretty much all about me or is all about who you are would appeal to people that are celebrities or those who want to be famous.
Yeah, and like we said, Scientologists doesn't only appeal to celebrities, but it actually forcibly courts them. It goes out and it goes after trying to bring celebrities into the fold, so to speak.
And that was Hubbard's plan, right?
Yeah, yeah. He saw celebrities as the movers and shakers of society. He saw them as the most influential people around.
Yeah, and keep this in mind. Where is their headquarters? Chris and I know we live there. We walk by it every day. It's very visible. It's very prominent. It's right on Hollywood Boulevard in the middle of Hollywood.
Yep, absolutely. And Scientology also has what's called a celebrity center, and that is this beautiful big building in Hollywood that caters to the rich and famous people. It's pretty amazing. And like we said, though, the vast majority of the followers of Scientology, they're normal people. You know, it's really easy for us to belittle them. It's really easy for us to look at the things that are in Dianetics and laugh. But these are people that are sincerely seeking truth. They're seeking answers for their troubled lives. And so we really have to be sensitive to the fact that these people really are looking for truth. They're just looking in the wrong place.
Well, so how would you talk to a Scientologist about where to find answers?
Well, I think, as we've reiterated in all of these episodes, the first place that we start is that we can't belittle someone's belief. We can't make fun of them. You know, I think the best way to see an error is to hold it up to something that's true, and not to hold up Dianetics with the Bible and make a direct comparison between the two, but take a minute. Listen to what these people have to say. Listen to their beliefs. Be compassionate. Be caring. And that's going to give you the opportunity to say what's happened in your life with Jesus Christ. What impact?
And love them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely show love.
Like we said, the love of Jesus is going to make all the difference in people's lives.
Right.
I think also it makes a big difference about how deeply involved a person is in Scientology. You'll run into people who just want to try it out. You know, you'll be walking down the street and it seems very, very innocuous. You know, they'll just want to talk to you about your personality and things like that. And I think that a lot of people who just dabble in it are not aware of the philosophical, the spiritual, the scientific problems that Scientology has with historic Christianity.
Absolutely. One of the interesting things is the higher up you get in Scientology, the more information, really the theological information, they'll reveal to you.
Yeah.
So you get to learn more things that happened way in the past that L. Ron Hubbard thinks that he discovered.
They don't just lay all of this idea about the Thetans out right, you know, all the cards are not on the table when you first take a look at Scientology. That, like Chris said, that slowly is revealed to you the further you go, and unfortunately the more money that you've spent.
Yeah.
But when talking to a Scientologist, I would actually start with looking at three truths from Scripture. First of all is the truth that we are all created in the likeness of God.
Mm-hmm. So would they confuse that with the idea that we are all God?
Well, as with any cult or, you know, any religious belief system, we need to be exactly clear on what the terms are that we're talking about. My emphasis would be that God created us. He is the creator, and we are the creation. He's separate from us. He's unique from us. He wants us to be like him, but never in the process do we ever, of course, become God. Secondly, I would emphasize that we are all sinners. Scientology wants to make us all victims. That's the whole idea behind, you know, the more money you spend, the clearer you get, and we start removing these negative engrams because of all the bad things that have happened to us in our lives. And the truth is that we need to just face up to our own sin and the fact that we have rebelled against God.
Yeah, I mean, we're not denying the fact that bad things happen. I think everybody in the world would admit that
right.
Bad things happen to everybody in the world, but we can't answer for that. We don't know exactly why everything in the world happens the way it does. But what we can do is we can face up to our own sins that we've created, that we've committed. And again, you know, You know, Ryan and I have a lot of friends that have been pulled into this organization, and we grieve for these people. We care desperately about them, about their spiritual condition, about the condition of their lives, and we want nothing more than for these people to know the truth about Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And when talking to them, finally, I would emphasize, most importantly, that the answers are found in Jesus Christ. We admit our sin. We look to Jesus, who died to remove that sin. He forgives us, and I don't need an electropsychometer at all. Bottom line is, I need Jesus.
That's right.
Stuck out to you? That kind of blows your mind, or something you learned, or something you find interesting about Scientology? How many of you had heard about Scientology? How many of you knew anything about it? I think they're different. I really don't. Yeah, I think this is a movement, and I think the Christian Science Church, I really don't hold me to it, but I think they focus more on like Scientology. They say that they don't allow medicine, stuff like that. I think they focus some on that too, but they also believe in the gospel. I could be completely wrong, but I'll look into it. I promise. Is there anything that stuck out to you guys? Yeah, Hubbard was originally a sci-fi novelist, and I heard years ago that he had made a bet with a friend that said, give me this many years and I'll have this many followers. And then he created the religion. I don't know if that's true, but that's just a thing I heard at school. Did you have something? Audited. What about anybody else? Thank you. because you're a victim of something that you haven't released through your... Yeah. When they mention that they target people with money, the thing that popped into my mind is we're told by Jesus that we should give up everything. And I just thought about how opposite it is. Being poor is, in our faith, essentially being rich. And he tells the young rich ruler who's asked, what else can I do? We'll sell everything you have. And when you think of that, having to have money to be part of something kind of throws flags in the air for me. But I've never had too much money, so. Yeah. Anybody else? I thought it was interesting. They say that it's not even really a religion. It's just a movement because there is no God. I mean, they don't worship a God. They worship their mindset. Chelsea and I both have been to Los Angeles and seen the Scientology building. Has anybody else seen it? Anybody been there? Well, we need to take you somewhere, Michael. It is a beautiful building. I mean, it almost looks like a cathedral. I just remember seeing it and thinking, well, what church is that? And then you drive by and there's a sign that says Scientology. It's a beautiful building. Anything else? Anybody else have a... that's really the whole purpose of the study that we've been doing, is we're going to be surrounded by people our whole lives who are searching and looking for something. And it's good to know the things that they're searching in and looking. And my whole goal, and I think it should be all of ours, is to understand these things and to know how to respect, not agree, but respect, and learn how to listen to what they're thinking, and then to know enough about our story to be able to explain why we think what we think. Scientology, they tell you what to do with all your money. They tell you how much goes to them. And a few years ago, there was a singer from Memphis. I forget his name. Famous singer. He died. And I remember it being a big deal because he didn't leave them any money. Do you know who I'm talking about, Ted? Who? A few years ago, I was at Bethel. No, B.B. King's still alive. Elvis died a long time ago. If he really did. But regardless, I really hope everybody takes from these studies not a way to combat people, but a way to understand where others are coming from. Time where Jesus didn't share the message by loving people. You ready? We have one more song, I think.
Let's stand up. The more I leave, the more I learn new things, the more I just admire God. How He found me in all this mess I found. How did He bring me to His light?